Blog Talk Radio.
I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes.
Happy Monday.
Yay, happy Monday. We made it through the weekend. We are here again.
Ooh.
Woot, woot.
Happy belated Mother's Day to all mommies, including myself. Ginger.
Yeah.
Apparently Ginger didn't. Did you hear Baby Nature's interview yesterday?
I did. I was going to comment, but like I said, I had family in town, and I was just all over the place. Yeah, my mommy came in town, and she stayed the weekend, and so I cooked for her Saturday and then took her out Saturday as well, and we went shopping and did all fun stuff, and then Sunday, she woke up, and I cooked her breakfast and then took her out and showed her around where I like to go and what I like to do here in this town, and yeah, it was fun. And she bought me fudge. I have fudge, people.
That's hot.
So, that's hot. Yes. Chocolate mint, or mint chocolate fudge. So good.
Thank you to Joe for wishing me a happy Mother's Day. Oh, man. Yeah, Baby Natrix yesterday refused to do the rest of her interview. She's already a prima donna.
She was so cute. I love those. I was listening to them. I was going to, because I listened to them with my mommy. And she thought they were adorable. So, yeah.
Well, I said, Baby Natrix, are you ready for your third interview? I have to go outside and ride my bike. And that's
I have a pressing appointment.
Yes, that's exactly how she said it. I have to go outside and ride my bike, complete with looking at the whole nails and the whole bit. And I was like, okay, well, fine. You're fired. Whatever.
That's awesome.
Whatever, Mommy Natrix. I said, that is not my name.
That is awesome. Yeah. I loved them. I really did. I was laughing. And we were sitting at the table. I pulled them up on my phone and was listening to them. And me and my mom were just cackling.
We had to redo them a couple of times. She was getting real aggravated about that Barbie Adventures thing. Like,
I know. I saw that.
You heard. That was the third take. The first one was really, really raw. And I said, okay, honey, I'm going to talk to you about PR. We don't say those kinds of things on the air. She said, they're not bad words. I was like, okay, you're definitely my child. You're militant.
I loved it.
Militant. So Barbie Horse Adventures, y'all have
no good, no fun.
No. Y'all might want to run. Yeah. Then she went outside and told her little girlfriends, and they were like, ew, Barbie. That's what I heard when she walked outside. Ew, Barbie. Oh, I don't like that. I was like, oh, man, to have a tape recorder.
I know, right? Equip her with one.
Yeah, this is going to be
just put this on your, you know, on your shirt, whatnot. Go have fun. Talk about some games.
Talk about the games with these girls. Yeah, they were not liking that at all. I do know the ones that they do like, ironically, the Ubisoft games that we gripe about. They like some of them, not all, which I'll turn her loose again on a cinch again here soon so you can hear about those. The fashion designer ones where you have to design the clothes and run the business, they love. The babysitting one, wah-wah.
Not so much.
Mm-mm.
Is that the one with the actual baby?
It's on the DS, and it has this has been so many years ago, but I know they all had the game. I think that Christmas we all went out, and, you know, all the moms down the street bought it, and they had all pretty, like, two or three of the Ubisoft games. The fashion designer one, they loved, and that was also a good idea. They put the song from Devil Wears Prada that we do on Pixinista every now and again. So that's one of the title songs in the game, which was a big plus. They love that, and it has a story where there's a girl, she moves to the big city. She's becoming a fashion designer. She has the option to either go with her career or the guy. All of them chose the career. I was applauding. Good girls.
That's awesome.
And they have to, you know, become a very famous fashion designer to do the makeup, the hair. But, you know, it's lots of little – it's not just about being pretty. It actually has a business aspect. So they loved that one. When we put the babysitter one in, they were like, what? I got to feed it. I'm going to ride my bike. And that's the phrase, I'm going to ride my bike. I don't want to. So, text messages, lovely. Okay, so we need to get to some news.
Yeah, I guess we do. Unfortunately, we do, don't we?
You said unfortunately. That's what we do here, Ginger May.
Oh, all right, maybe I didn't mean unfortunately. I'm a little slow here this morning, people, so...
You want me to go first? Since you're a little slow? Sure.
Yeah.
All right, we told you guys last week that GameStop was going to be selling Steam cards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they just arrived in stores as of today. Retailer GameStop has confirmed it will begin selling $20 and $50 codes for use with Steam. Jason Holtman, who's Valve's Director of Business Development, said that GameStop is the most recognized game retailer in the world and a leader in providing a state-of-the-art shopping experience for its customers. He says offering Steam wallet codes at GameStop extends more options and convenience to gamers around the world. After days of rumors and sightings, the cards officially went on sale today. Yay! Steve Nix, who's the GM of digital distribution for the American retailer, said, "We're thrilled to be partnering with Valve on this new initiative. This gives even more options to customers now that they can put their money in their Steam wallet using cash, gift cards, or trade credits through our convenient neighborhood locations." We are not fond of this idea here. Yeah.
No.
I don't like the cost. Why would I pay $55 and then come away with $40 or however it is that they're doing it? You guys are going to have to explain this to us because I'm not understanding.
Exactly. I don't like that. You are charging me money, and then I'm not getting the full value of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like with the Microsoft points, which we have all of us here have been opposed to. If you're going to tell me I got to spend money for the game, just let me spend whatever it is. If it's $4.99, I want to pay $4.99. If it's $5.99, I want to pay that. Not, okay, you have to buy, you know, $50 worth of Microsoft points, and then we're going to use up $40 of them and say it's $5.99. It doesn't translate well, so... Guys, get us some prices up here and explain to me why it is exactly that I want to use you and not go directly to Steam.
Exactly, because I was directly to Steam.
GLaDOS has you, by the way.
GLaDOS Lego.
She might have both of us. I'm really not sure.
GLaDOS?
She lets you go.
Let me go? Okay.
She's
just mad because I have to keep her.
Oh, she got you again. She's not happy with you.
Yeah, she's mad. Kick her butt weekend.
Oh, why? Why, GLaDOS? Why? Why do you have the ginger today? Why?
Let me go, GLaDOS.
Okay, try it again.
Okay, so you can hear me maybe?
I can hear you now.
All right, Blizzard. Uh-oh. Yeah, Blizzard skips E3 again this year. This is a short one, so I'm going to go two, actually. Blizzard Entertainment once again skipped the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is E3, in Los Angeles next month. World of Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo series developer won't take part in any U.S. media events this year. This marks the fifth time that Blizzard has skipped the annual trade show, though usually it had its own fan-based BlizzCon event to fall back on. Blizzard will show something off in Europe at Gamescom 2012 in August, at least. Blizzard is set to release Diablo 3 next week and is working on an MMO codenamed Project Titan, several StarCraft 2 expansions, and a World of Warcraft expansion. I'm starting to think this Project Titan isn't going to happen.
It's
got to be something seriously. They skipped five E3s in a row. They did not have BlizzCon this year. They're probably not going to have BlizzCon next year.
No. I can you hear me?
Yeah, and the BlizzCon the year before was a complete failure.
Well, I has it on good authority from horse's mouth that it's being worked on. Whether it'll be completed, I don't know.
I'm going to go with a full of fail. Full of fail. That's the reason why they don't want to.
She said it just so you know who told me. I can't say your name. But, yeah, she said it.
I totally did. All right, so another one. This is the same thing. Well, same thing. Still has to do with Blizzard. Blizzard and Valve Software come to an agreement on DOTA trademark. Blizzard Entertainment issued a brief statement this afternoon announcing that it had come to a mutual agreement concerning their competing DOTA games. Valve is a developing DOTA 2, but under the terms of the agreement, Blizzard will preserve its right to the non-commercial use of DOTA for its community relating to player-created maps for Warcraft 3 and Starcraft 2. Both Blizzard and Valve recognize that, at the end of the day, players just want to be able to play the games they're looking forward to. so we are happy to come to an agreement that helps both of us stay focused on that, says Rob Pardo, Executive Vice President of Game Design at Blizzard Entertainment. As part of this agreement, we're going to be changing the name of Blizzard DOTA to Blizzard All-Stars, which ultimately better reflects the design of our game. We look forward to going into more detail on that at a later date. And Gabe Newell, President and Co-Founder of Valve, says we are pleased that we could come to an agreement with Blizzard without drawing things out in a way that would benefit no one. We both want to focus on the things our fans care about, creating and shipping great games for both of our communities. Blizzard said that both companies will not disclose further terms of their arrangements. So, I don't know what to think about it, but all right. So there's that. Yay! I really thought that was a dumb fight all around to begin with, but hey.
Well, they're all dumb fights, but they feel like they need to have them, so.
Yeah.
All right, I got a short one and then another one that's probably going to make Ginger very angry. Ginger Smash! I saw the Avengers this weekend, by the way. Okay, and Ginger has stepped away. So I'll tell her about the Avengers when she comes back. But I will tell you about Tomb Raider. Yeah, this is not good for some of you. Tomb Raider, the reboot, has been delayed yet again. Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics have delayed the upcoming Tomb Raider reboot into 2013 from its original fall 2012 release window. According to Gamma Sutra, Crystal Dynamics head Daryl Gallagher put the delay down to giving the game an extra layer of polish. The game was first revealed at the end of 2010 with the aim to reinvent its famous protagonist, Lara Croft, with a new origin story explaining her upbringing. With the game now due to be released in the first quarter of 2013, it remains to be seen how this will affect Square Enix's current fiscal year after the company saw strong retail sales in 2011. We hope it's good is all we can say. Also on the table today, VentureBeat is talking about a new Russian anti-piracy firm called Pirate Pay is eyeing international expansion. They are backed by Microsoft. The mantra behind anti-piracy outfit Pirate Pay is supposed to be, if you can't beat them, block them. It aims to tackle BitTorrent piracy by confusing clients and preventing users from connecting to each other. Ooh, created in 2009 by a trio of Russian developers, Pirate Pay has attracted a good deal of attention, most notably from the Microsoft seed funding, financing funding, which was invested $100,000 in the venture. Pirate Pay's efforts mark a significant departure from the more common way media companies have been taking online piracy. Marked by tracking and litigation, these efforts have largely failed to make a significant dent in the problem, which is why Pirate Pay's methods are so immediately enticing. Rather than slapping the hand in the cookie jar, Pirate Pay moves the cookie jar to a higher shelf. As Torrent Freak points out, Pirate Pay, pirating software cookies. As Torrent Freak points out, Pirate Pay's efforts are fairly similar to those of Peer Media, which is notorious for utilizing a number of unconventional anti-piracy efforts. These things include things like decoying, posting fake or corrupted versions of files, and interdiction, preventing servers from distributing files. But does it work? Well, sort of. The Pirate Pay team says that it blocked nearly 50,000 transfers of Vysotsky's Thank God I'm Alive, one of the biggest Russian films from last year. Moderate success aside, Pirate Pay hopes to extend its operation to foreign shores, making it harder for pirates across the globe to get the files they seek. And I got to tell you again, when you make this, somebody else is just going to make something else to see around what you made. This is a never-ending fight, people.
Yeah.
I don't have a solution, but I am telling you it is wasted effort. The more you try to block them, and now that you're all coming out, this is where I think a lot of these little companies, you make your mistake. Pirate Pay, if you're going to operate, you need to operate under the radar, just like the pirates do. Now that they know you're there and they know you have the software, it's very easy to pop over to your website, read about how it works, and then create something that goes around it.
Ooh.
I'm not encouraging. I'm just pointing out the obvious. They're going to find a way around it. You've been trying to stop this. How long going on now? 20-some-odd years?
A while, yeah.
And all that happens is once you get rid of one, 50 more pop up in its place. At first it was, Napster, and then as soon as Napster was gone, we had 6 or 7 more pop up, BitTorrent and BitTorrent Spy and all these people.
Exactly.
You got to find some other way. Blocking them is not going to work, and people are going to get irritated because the people who are actually using these services legitimately are not going to be able to get to their files one day, and then they're going to sue you, and then, see, it's, you know, no.
Yeah.
Got to be something else. Got to think outside the box, people. Just saying.
Yes, yes. I promise the box is, yeah, it's not as safe and as pretty and as warm as comfy as you think it is. Get out. All right. So, not quite for sure how this applies, but it's kind of interesting. Best Buy founder resigns.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Richard Schultz is aware of former CEO's misconduct. It was just reported that former Yahoo CEO Scott Thompson resigned after being called out by Dan Loeb and Third Point for padding his resume. Thompson, who had been peddling a fake computer science degree for some time, made national news in a society that is very fascinated with the misgivings of one percenters, and then claimed to all of a sudden be suffering from a serious illness before stepping down. And Thompson was also able to bypass forced crying on television or entering some sort of rehab center to bolster PR. Surely he'd arranged his contract in a way that will afford him millions of dollars for fraudulently taking the reins at the embattled company for roughly 4 months, so case closed. In another instance of a top executive behaving badly, Best Buy's founder and chairman Richard Schultz has stepped down after a probe revealed that he was aware of ex-CEO Brian Dunn's inappropriate relationship with a female employee. Dunn resigned in April, and there were no disagreements between he and the board on anything relating to operations, financial controls, policies, or procedures. Best Buy had hired an outside legal firm to take a look at Dunn's dealings and revealed that no misuse of company resources or aircraft occurred during the ongoing trip, but indicated that Schultz acted inappropriately when he found out about the relationship. Best Buy has been having some big problems as of late, and was forced to close several of its stores and lay off hundreds of employees. Leadership has already been on thin ice, and Schultz, who founded the company since 1966, made a misstep in possibly protecting Dunn's misconduct. As Schultz resigns, he will be replaced by Hatem Tiabidji? Anyways, chairman of its audit committee. Schultz will be fine. In 2011, he was ranked 157th richest person in America, according to Forbes, with an estimated net worth of $2.5 billion. Wow. Yeah, by the way, well, I guess I can't really call them your stores anymore, but yeah, Best Buy sucks.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. On one hand, as a person who, when I used to temp, who padded her resume so that I could get better jobs and then went back and learned those skills, I don't have a degree in any of the stuff that I know, but I managed to grab some pretty decent contract jobs and so on and so forth. I don't understand this fascination with, oh, you padded your resume. Did he say that he – it's not like he was doing, you know, brain surgery where, yes, you need. I need to see your PhD. I need to know emphatically that what you're doing is not going to kill these patients.
Yeah.
This is Best Buy. If he says he had a little few technical skills that he didn't or some sales experience that he didn't, apparently he's been at the company for how long? And you just caught on? That means
yeah.
He was able to at least do his job without a degree. I would think he would find that amazing. Yeah, you might slap him on the wrist and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that, but you've been here, so I don't know what else he did. I'm just what else he did that's considered bad conduct.
I think it's just more of a PR thing.
It's stupid.
At the same time, on the other hand, all right, the other guy got busted for having an affair.
Okay.
But it did turn out that he didn't use any of the company resources during such said affair. So, A, you're judging him on his outside life. But you said the business itself had no complaints about how he ran anything.
That's always the stupidest thing in the world to me. We are so, even as a country, so caught up in what we think family values are. I could give a flip about what our president does on his free time. If he wants to eat cookies with his toes, bathing in jelly while naked, I don't care. I think I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. I don't care what the people do if you run a company on your free time. It is your free time. You are not
exactly.
The company. If you're out in the middle of, you know, of Times Square, New York, naked with Best Buy plastered on your chest and doing something horrible, yes, you should be reprimanded. But once you have left the job, you are at home, or you're wherever it is you go when you leave work, I don't really care. The only thing, the same thing with that, and this is, unfortunately, I'm going to get a little bit political. The whole thing with Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, you know, my first question was when they were like, he was getting BJ's during on the job. I was like, okay, one, was his hand hovering over the nuclear button when he did this and when he threatened to push it? Two, was he shooting up drugs? Was his judgment impaired? Any kind of way that was going to affect the country other than, you know, just him and his wife? You know, I have nothing to do with what goes on between him and Hillary. We all need to separate that. I don't care what the politicians do. If you're gay politician, I don't care if you're in the closet, out of the closet. Can you do your job is what I want to know. If it affects you doing your job, then yes, we need to talk about it. If it doesn't, go for it. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. And we need to stop being so concerned with what people do on their off time. It does not reflect who they are as a person. I love eating cookies and peanut butter. I just had some. That does not mean that, you know, I'm a horrible person or, you know, the chocolate impairs my vision or anything like that. It does not affect anything. It's stupid. Just see how stupid that sounded when I said that? I ate cookies before the show. Who cares? Does it have anything to do with how well we deliver the news? Maybe a little bit. I'm a little hyper. But otherwise, no. It's stupid. We get so caught up in the wrong things.
We do. We totally do. And it's ridiculous. We shouldn't.
This guy at Best Buy, I'm sorry you lost your job because you had an affair. Go deal with your wife and forget the people at Best Buy. And if he had a padded resume and you let him in and he did his job great again, why are you concerned? I did this all the time when I temped. Seriously. I would put together the kick-ass resume and go work at a company, and I had my girlfriends going, how are you getting all these jobs paying so well? Because I lied, but I also went back and learned. Whatever it is I told them I knew how to do, then while I was sitting there, because generally they would stick you at a receptionist job. I was the executive temp, you know, the person that got paid the good money. And I'd go in there and I'd say, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. And then when they'd leave and go to lunch, click, 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 I'm on the computer. Okay, I need to learn how to do this. I learned how to use Windows, Word, all the Microsoft suites, some other little softwares at an oil and gas company. I did a stint at a whole bunch of oil and gas companies when I was going through college and temping, and I was getting paid no less than $14 an hour, no less.
That's nice.
And sometimes you have to do that to make ends meet. And nobody ever caught on because, again, whenever they bring me in to test, it's like, we just want to make sure you know this. By that time, I'd learned it. So unless it's surgery people and – that's the only people I worry about needing to have their ducks in a row. Your surgery or you're dealing with something that's going to kill people, yes, you need to have a degree. Then you should be reprimanded. Other stuff, tech stuff, we all have access to the Internet. We can learn how to do all kinds of stuff. Chill out.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry. Right. I need to get on my soapbox then. Go ahead, Ginger.
Well, I was going to say it's my turn, but I just read that stuff, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Okay, in that case, I got some top tens for you over the
week. That case, I'm going to get right back up there.
Let me get right back on my soapbox. Oh, this is not a soapbox. I got to tell you, we got charts in on time this week. Woot!
Woot!
That came at 4:38. I'm going to need for y'all not to send them so early, UK people. We are still sleeping at 4 a.m., but thank you.
That was nice.
4:38. Nice. All right.
That's got the whole ding thing going on.
Yes. Over the weekend, this is what you all were playing, or over last week, or rather. Number 10, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Yes, we are still playing that. Lovely. Number 9, Battlefield 3. Number 8, Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. Number 7, Kinect Star Wars. Number 6, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. You also have coming in at number 5, Mass Effect 3. Even though some of you are angry with them, you're still playing it. Number 4, Prototype 2. Uh-oh, wait a minute. She's got to get in with me. Number four. Prototype 2.
Yay.
Yay. We don't have any plot, but we do, but I'm not going to do it.
Number three.
FIFA 12.
Really, people?
Yes.
Come on.
Number two, FIFA Street.
Because two needs, you know.
Two. People. That's right. Two. FIFA Street.
Really, people?
Yeah.
Come on. FIFA? Really?
Yes, I don't know what it is about the FIFA, but I got it.
Nuts.
I got to get to me some of that. I don't know why they're playing it, but it must be good. Stays in the top three. Okay, and that number one. Sniper Elite version.
You know, I've got a friend of mine that is playing that, and he says it is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
It's from 505 Games. How did we overlook this one?
I don't know, but he says it's awesome, and he's on my Steam account, and that's like all he's playing. I was like, dude, you going to come play with me? Hello? Dude,
I gotta admit, I do love to be a sniper, so I may have to look into that. Yeah, I like shooting people from afar with a high powered rifle. Pew! In a game, let me be clear because I don't want any groups coming after us. You know how they are.
Yeah, that other one is illegal, and as much fun as it might be, no.
I'm telling you, what did I told someone? I said, look, if it was possible that I could shoot people and they would respawn and retain the memory of the fact that I would, then I would do that. But you can't get, they don't respawn.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome. Man, but it better hurt when I shoot them, too. Cause I want them to feel it. Because if I shoot you, there's probably a reason why I'm shooting you.
Just retain the memory that I will do it. I did. And yes. Your respawn would be fun. That's why we need games.
There is somebody right now, I would camp their respawn.
Ooh.
I'd be like, bitch, one toe outside that line. Go ahead. Do it.
You scares me, Ginger.
Man, I'll have to tell you about that later, girl. That was, and I'm going to write about this. This is.
We got a bunch of writing to go. Ginger finally finished The Walking Dead, so now I can put mine up, too. We've been waiting until we can share with y'all.
Yes.
Ooh.
All right, so Game Australia goes into administration. According
what?
To reports. Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. According to reports in the UK newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, video game retailer Game has announced that its Australian division was going into voluntary administration. The company has chosen PricewaterhouseCoopers to deal with its current financial complications. Through the accounting firm said that the 92 stores in the country would continue to run while things were sorted out. The company employs about 500 people in Australia. The news has also complicated one of the biggest releases for this year, Diablo 3. According to several published reports, customers who pre-ordered the game have been informed via email that their pre-orders would not be on time and that they would not be receiving a refund. Ooh, that's not good.
Ooh.
It says, due to the appointment of an administrator to our business this morning, it is with regret that I inform you all that our stores will not be receiving any stock of Diablo 3. Because of this, we regrettably will be unable to fulfill any pre-orders. Also, we will be unable to refund any deposits paid towards a pre-order of Diablo 3. If you need any more info, please email customerrelations@game.com.au. Email them and call them dirty names, people. While a company that is an administration may not legally be required to give refunds, that's still really bad for the reputation if they survive the process.
Oh.
As you can imagine, customers who pre-ordered Diablo 3 are absolutely livid with Game, but there's not a lot they can do about it either. Man, Game, y'all suck.
Well, how come they bought the... So the company that came in and bought them didn't buy They didn't buy the Australian one at all?
I don't know. I don't quite understand what they're doing here, but I do understand that this is not cool.
I'm so at a loss. Why?
I don't know. It's nuts. It's really, really, really nuts. I cannot believe that they've done this.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well... have you put up the mercenaries op thing yet?
Have I done what?
Mercenaries? Have we talked about that? Have you posted it?
No.
Okay, well, let me tell them about it. those of you who want to play mercenaries or you love it, Mercenary Ops is now accepting closed beta applications. Applicants are now being considered for the closed beta phase of the upcoming action-packed third-person shooter, Mercenaries Ops. For all those interested in participating, you will just need to pop over to the Mercenary Ops Facebook page for your chance to obtain a closed beta key. We will be posting that up for you in just a moment. Breathe. Don't get all twitchy. You're at work. Just continue shuffling your papers all calmly. If you're in a meeting and you have us in your ear, look over at your boss right now. Smile really big. Somebody told me they do that. I like to listen to you guys when I'm in a meeting. Yeah, you're going to get fired. Yeah, you're going to get fired, but it's not going to be our fault when you laugh out loud during the meeting during a very crucial moment when you shouldn't be laughing. But look over at your boss right now.
I'm going to end up hearing Ginger saying bad words.
Yeah. Look over, smile, and then scribble something on the paper and stop getting twitchy. Don't worry, it'll be up on the site. The first group of beta testers will be allowed in on June 20th. During this particular beta test phase, players will be able to do battle in 6 different intense game modes across a number of dynamic maps. Those that participate will get to experience the fast-paced action of the competitive online multiplayer matches. That's right, Ginger, they said multiplayer online matches, along with the co-op missions of up to 8 players against deadly hordes of AI-controlled enemies and mini-bosses.
I don't want to kill AI. I don't want to kill real people, but I want to kill people who are playing the game.
I could take either or. I either like to be with my friends killing other people or with my friends killing AI. It don't really matter. So long as we all on the same team, and then I can shoot y'all in the back every once in a while, then y'all yell at me and stop it. That's fun. Of course, Mercenary Ops will be free to download and play at launch this summer. The game features an optional microtransaction system that allows players to unlock and customize their weapons and equipment through special upgrades, all of which can also be obtained through the game's loot system. Balancing is always a major concern when it comes to online shooters, especially when they are free to play, said Mercenary Ops producer Jason Sharp. Because of this, we have committed heavily to testing the game internally and even invited some of the world's best pro gamers for their invaluable feedback. With the launch of our closed beta, we will have the chance to garner even more feedback, this time from general shooter fans. Set in the near future, when powerful corporations have led the imminent downfall of humanity, Mercenary Ops pits deadly guns for hire against each other, as well as those hostile forces in a struggle for wealth and survival. The game combines the tactical gameplay elements found in other third-person shooters with the fast-paced action of online multiplayer titles. Mercenary Ops puts an equal emphasis on competitive play and team-based co-op missions, providing players with a truly action-packed and explosive experience. Mercenary Ops was created using Unreal 3. That's right, Unreal 3. The engine was selected for its cutting-edge graphics, multi-core processor support, and optimization for the PC and massive world support. Again, you can pop over to the Mercenary Ops game page on Facebook to sign up for your beta. If you can't remember that, you know where to go. Our site, GameAndMatrix.com, and get yourself in there. And do we need to point out to you people again, it is a beta, which means it will not work exactly perfect.
Your God, are you kidding? It won't work completely right the way, you know, I think it should?
Mm-hmm. Some of them don't get it. Your job as a beta tester is to help point out all the things that are wrong. This is when you do it, not when it's released.
That word, the second word there, tester.
Yes.
You are the beta tester. You are testing the beta game, and it's not ready.
It is
not polished. It's going to have bugs. It's going to have issues.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fall through holes. There's going to be exploits. There's going to be all kinds of issues.
And your job is supposed to be to point those out then, not when the game comes out and say, this game sucks. It was worse when it was in beta. Well, yeah, of course it was. Come on now, people. Stay with us.
That never makes sense to me. People are like, oh, my God, it sucked in beta. Well, hello?
Of course it sucked in beta. It's a beta.
I mean, all right. I can go with the storyline sucked in beta. That probably is not going to change too much, even out of beta. Storyline is kind of set.
I don't think you game companies are making it clear exactly what beta is. You're allowing people in, and you're not telling them that your job is supposed to be to find all the mistakes. Now, right now, is when you find all the wrong things and you tell them about it. Everything from misspelling. Some of you can't really spell, so you don't notice. But,
girl, there was somebody typing me the other day using U and R as words. And I was like, oh, no, sorry.
I have to stop the conversation. It wasn't on a cell phone when they did this?
No, it was in a game, and they were doing U and R.
No.
And all those stupid little smiley faces behind, everything.
No.
You know, I don't mind a smiley face here and there. That's okay. But no, you, Y-O-U people, R-A-R-E, and your is not you are. Okay? And they were using you are for like you are and yours, both combined.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the your? I don't like that.
That.
Well, they can't tell the difference between your and you are.
Because, I mean, I will admit, when I'm typing quickly, I will say the wrong thing, and then I look up and I read what I wrote, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I'll go back and correct myself. And people get annoyed at me for correcting myself, but I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for me.
Well, some of them don't realize they typed something wrong. So the grammar lesson for the day, people, is when you're telling somebody you're hot, it's not spelled Y-O-U-R, it is Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. When you say, I would like to borrow your car, it is Y-O-U-R. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get that straight. We are all grammar snobs here at Game & Matrix. Not to say we don't write a few articles with some typos, but for the most part...
Mine is punctuation. I will totally admit my punctuation is crap.
I'm a run-on sentence kind of chick, yeah.
Yes. But I try not to have, you know, more than one and in the sentence. I try to use my commas and, you know, everything where they need to go. Semicolons. It's a little bit trickier for me. But, I try. The point is, I try.
And some don't try or don't know that they're doing it wrong. We all want you to be as smart as we know you are.
Yes.
That was so condescending, right?
All right, what have we got? EVE Online Inferno launches May 22nd.
Woo-hoo!
Yay, the 17th free expansion for subscribers sounds the call to war. building on a unique achievement in gaming history with a 9th anniversary celebrating continuous year-on-year growth earlier this May. CCP Games and its award-winning game, EVE Online, are nearing release of a 17th free expansion, EVE Online Inferno, to all subscribers on May 22nd. More than any other expansion in EVE's history, Inferno aims to shake up all levels of warfare in the over 7,500 solar systems in EVE's massive universe. Overhauls of major war-related game systems will affect player-driven conflict, and the first set of many new ship modules to come promise... First set of many new ship modules to come promise to alter tactics at the most visceral level. Key features of Inferno include Mercenary Marketplace, pay the best guns for hire to settle your scores and make yourself available to the highest bidders in the most notorious PvP universe in gaming. Corey, I need accounts. War declarations.
Why? Well, gotta get it.
You know what? Fine, I will harass them directly after the show. CCP, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Run, CCP, run.
War declarations, rework systems to help you wage war and keep track of your legacy. Missiles and launchers, savor every moment from launch to impact with missile launchers and dramatic new missile effects. Factional warfare, enlist in a faction and join the entry-level game of Conquest with more rewards and deeper gameplay than ever before. Visual updates, enhanced graphics on ship models and increased options in the industry-leading character creator. Plus kill reports, unified inventory, 16 new modules, and dozens of enhancements to both graphics and gameplay. John Lander, senior producer for EVE Online, says, "There has never been a more exciting time to try EVE and become the spaceship pilot you always knew you should be. The EVE universe is, now more than ever, staggeringly ripe with possibilities for adventure, stories, profit, and, well, really satisfying explosions with the new missile effects. EVE Online Inferno bolsters the EVE universe for Dust 514's addition later this year, where millions of soldiers and a free-to-play PlayStation 3 shooter will join the EVE pilots in the same persistent universe." All right, so you want to check this out, you can check it out over at, there's a link, but you know what, GameNatrix.com, go get it. Oh, did I mention there's a 14-day free trial? Oh, yes, there is, GameNatrix.com, head over, go get it.
Ooh, wow, Zoe. You know what's bad is that she has... Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? This may possibly affect us, so I must tell you about it.
What's going to affect us? Who am I killing?
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter?
Kickstarter.
What are they doing?
It's not what they're doing. It's what they did.
What did they do?
Wow. Okay, according to our lovely peoples over Adventure Beat, Kickstarter has a bug.
A bug?
Yes, crowdfunding darling Kickstarter suffered its first significant security issue last week when a bug in the company's API made information available on over 70,000 unreleased projects, one of them probably ours, although we've told you about it, but we just had not released it. Oh, gosh, wow. Luckily, the bug didn't make personal or financial information available, thank God, and it was mostly used by a Wall Street Journal reporter who alerted Kickstarter of this issue. This is what the company revealed on its blog yesterday. The bug was introduced when they launched the API in conjunction with their new homepage on April 24th and was live until it was discovered and fixed on Friday, May 11th at 1:42 p.m. That's from Kickstarter co-founder Yancey Stickler. The bug made accessible the project description, goal, duration, rewards, video, image, location, category, and username for unlaunched projects. Yeah, we were in the bunch.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The security lapse isn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things. The attack on Sony's PlayStation Network affected more than 100 million users, 12.3 million of which had credit card data stored within the network. Outside of the WSJ reporter's finding, Kickstarter claims only 48 projects were accessed via the bug. Oh, gosh, they're going to need to tell me who. But this bug is sort of thing that could make some users a bit more wary of the site, especially as they need to watch out for scam projects on Kickstarter as well. Users affected by the security lapse don't seem too concerned, though. We are? What do you mean? Speaker to the Wall Street Journal teacher and musician Sam Billen said, "I'd expect things like the breach to happen as they're growing. It's probably a one-time thing. But I think there are possibly some bigger projects out there where it might have been a bigger issue." We are not happy, Kickstarter.
Awesome. Okay, great. That's not good. How dare y'all?
We are not pleased.
No. No, no, we're not. No, we're not. Okay, Caveman Craig 2?
When did Caveman Craig 1 come out is the question.
I know, right? All right, so Caveman Craig 2 is a unique strategy game featuring Craig, a tribe leader whose goal is to take over the four tribes of Bog Drop. To do this, Craig must buy and train three types of cavemen, hunters, gatherers, and preparers. Craig, the player, must demonstrate these tasks to new cavemen to teach them. Caveman Craig 2 features over 12 dinosaurs, including velociraptors, pterodactyls, and the brutal
Wait, is it you that's scared of the dinosaurs?
Yes, it's me. I will not be playing this.
Oh, my God.
I don't do dinosaurs.
I find this amazing between you and Snow. You are afraid of dinosaurs. She's afraid of zombies. And now,
dinosaurs.
The zombie thing I kind of get, but you with the dinosaurs I don't get.
Girl, all right. Yesterday, my parents were in town, right? So we're walking downtown. I like to go hiking on the weekends. So I took them on my little walking route that I do downtown. And we're going through all these old buildings, and I'm, you know, walking, and they're like, oh, this is such a pretty building. And I'm like, yeah, you see that? There's too many entry points for zombies. I was like, no, you see this one over here? This one only has one ramp up. You could blockade it, you know, it would be good. And then they were looking at a building. My mom's like, well, what about this one? It's big, you know, you got the place at the top. I was like, yeah, but look at all the glass windows on the bottom. No, you can't have the glass windows or the zombies can break through. So, yeah, we are having a actual discussion as we're walking through town about, you know, which buildings downtown would be good to hide out from zombies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Did I mention that I just adore you?
I love you too, Miss Corey.
I just adore you. Okay, continue with your story.
All right, so a whole new twist on the original Caveman Craig game. Conquer the enemy's territory to win each level. Smart cavemen can eat, sleep, improve their skills, and eventually unlocking a special veteran bonus and prioritize their tasks. New game types, dinosaurs, bonuses, achievements, and playable characters that can be unlocked. These are all features, apparently. And classic mode, where you must build your tribe up as large as possible while facing harder and more frequent threats, just like the original Caveman Craig, which we don't remember. All right, so there's a professional high-quality soundtrack by platinum-selling musician Ricky Garcia. And currently, Caveman 2 is only available for PC. It's only in the U.S. for $9.99 via their website. And if you want that link, if this sounds like something you want to play, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to make you go get it over on GameNatrix.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Ginger, I can't send you any cute little stuffed dinosaurs, right?
No. No. I don't do dinosaurs.
No. Why? But
no.
She shut me down before I even get it out. No. You know what? That was a blasterism. No. No.
No, I love you, but no. There will be no dinosaurs in my house. That's all right.
What?
Seriously, my best friend's parents back in the day held me down in my seat because they took me and her out to see Jurassic Park, and her mom had to hold me down because I was trying to get up and leave. I don't do dinosaurs.
I've told y'all things that scare me. It's always those abstract things. It's nothing like zombies or things like that.
Zombies are kind of fun.
Well, they're not fun. I mean, if I saw a real one, of course, I'd be afraid. But, you know, the thought of them doesn't frighten me to the point where I can't watch a movie. Now, if there's something facing a wall, we've talked about this before, facing a wall, and I walk in the room, I'm leaving.
Yeah. And I wouldn't blame you.
And somebody's going to do that to me, I'm pretty sure, at an event. I'm 100% sure now that I have let this secret out. I'm going to walk into a hotel room, and everybody's going to be facing the wall, and I'm just going to walk out. And I'm going to tell you all in the room, your best bet is not to follow me out and touch me. Just let me go. Just let me go. And then when I come back in later, you can sit down and laugh about the fact that you scared me. But touching me would be a bad idea.
Oh, come on. It can't be that bad.
If you want your teeth, it will be a bad idea.
You want your teeth.
I got a mean left hook, and I'm not even left-handed. Be afraid. Don't. Just let me leave the room and calm down, and I'll come back, and then we can all have a good laugh about it. But do not touch. No touch. All right, back to the news. A company called Needle has announced today that it has added Astro Gaming, a company that creates and sells premium video game equipment for pro gamers and gaming enthusiasts, to its impressive list of online retail clients. Needle's fan-sourcing model and guided shopping platform gives Astro Gaming the opportunity to connect with its customers by providing a personalized shopping experience. Needle identifies, recruits, and trains passionate fans of the Astro Gaming brand, referred to as Needlers, and then connects them with online shoppers on the Astro Gaming website via Needle's proprietary sales chat platform. Needlers help the online shopper make purchase decisions, have the ability, I'm sorry, help Needlers help the online shopper make purchase decisions, have the ability to interactively demonstrate features of a specific product, and cross and upsell with a cart builder. But they say the majority of our consumers are pretty hardcore gaming enthusiasts, so it makes total sense for us to use Needle to connect them with other like-minded fans who have informed recommendations about our products, said Jordan Rice, who's the founder of Astro Gaming. He said what really sold us on this was Needle's practice of hiring individuals who are passionate about Astro Gaming products, as we are. Needlers can work from anywhere with an internet connection, giving Astro Gaming the benefit of an ardent, knowledgeable, and cost-effective sales force that helps convert site visitors to sales by evangelizing a company's brand and products. Online reach shoppers will also enjoy the benefits of getting valuable product information and unique, authentic perspectives from real fans of the brand. One of those fans is Doug Fleming, a competitive gamer from Oceanside, California, who is a loyal Astro user. What this all boils down to, and it's the very long story that we'll post the rest of for you on our site, GameAndMatrix.com, but this means there's job openings and remote job openings. Those of you who always wanted to work at home, this is how you do it. You find one of these companies and you go and you wow them with your fake resume. if you're going to put up a fake resume, be ready to be able to back up the skills you said you had. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Exactly.
I'm not going to call anybody out because this was a family member, but she tried to do the same thing and spelled some of the names of the programs that she said she knew wrong. Yeah, I'll tell you about that after the show. I love her dearly, but I tease her about it to this day. Really? You can't spell Photoshop.
Really?
Yes.
How hard is that?
It is not spelled with three P's, let me just tell you. There's only two P's in Photoshop.
Come on, trying to figure out how that would even work.
Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta be careful, people. If you gotta lie, you gotta at least just some knowledge of what you're saying you know how to do. At least say, you know, I know what it is. I just need to learn how to I need to learn how to use it after I've told you I can use it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it happens. Don't lie. Well, you can lie. I'm not gonna tell you not to lie. Everybody needs to get a job and you want a good one. But if you're gonna lie, make it good and be ready to learn.
UK Peggy ratings brings penalties to careless retailers.
We talked about that, but they got more. Whoop.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about it, but it might be an update. We did that early in the week last week.
This came out Friday after we left, so.
Yeah.
One of the things we did not note when we wrote about it earlier this week, hey, look at that, is that with the Peggy rating system coming to the United Kingdom, there will be a change in the law that retailers will want to take note of. Oh, by the way, did I mention GamePolitics.com? That's where I'm getting this. Anyways, according to the official release from the Department of Culture, Media, and Sports, CCMS, the Video Standards Council, VSC, will have the right to refuse to grant an age rating for a video game if it includes extreme content, which means it can't be sold in the UK. More importantly, the Peggy rating systems for the UK will have a legal penalty and a fine for retailers who knowingly sell games to children that are outside of their age range. The government is making the age 12 rating legally enforceable for the first time, which means anyone selling an age 12 game to someone under that age could be jailed. The new system is expected to be in place by July, according to their report. You can check the whole thing out here. All right, so I'm a little bit curious. Does this mean just to the child or selling it to a parent who you know is going to allow a child to play it? I would like a little bit of clarification on that.
Say that again now.
Is it just selling the game to a child who you believe or you know is under the age of 12? Or is this selling this to an adult who you know is going to give this game to a child under the age of 12?
That's interesting. And that is, again, why I would love to see some type of ID instituted, not just here in the U.S., but worldwide for that reason. So that if they do buy it for a child, that the gamers, the retailers, nobody's held responsible. Their responsibility, I have always said, should lie with the parent. And now y'all know I'm a parent. Same way.
I mean, because I don't have an issue with allowing your child, if you believe your child is mature enough to play a game older than their age rating, suggested age rating, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you think it is, and if you think your child can handle it, and if you monitor your child, hey, you're the adult, you're the parent, you choose. But I do like the idea that stores can be held accountable, like Walmart, the way they just hand a game over, and they just put games in their little game consoles and just allow anybody to play.
Well, here's the thing. Walmart, I find this hilarious about Walmart. Last week in the morning, I was listening to a radio show. I had to take Miss Baby Nature to school, and they were doing a contest with 50 Shades of Grey and talking about which stores were carrying it. And a lot of you ladies out there know what the book is, 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, you know, of course, the store like Walmart wouldn't carry it because Walmart is still touting the whole family values thing, and we don't allow those types of things in the store. But they carry M-rated games. There is no ESRB rating system. And any Walmart that I've been in, and lady from Walmart, if you call me again and start screaming at me, I'm finding you. The last time we called them about this, they called the rep from the regional manager called me and proceeded to yell at me on the phone and told me I was lying even after I provided pictures. So they have no ESRB ratings up. They carry M-rated games, which is the equivalent of carrying a book like 50 Shades of Grey or carrying, you know, Playboy. I'm not saying that games are that extreme, but if we're gonna put them in the same ratings category, it's a rated R movie, rated M game, and a book with a little erotica in it, same category. So I don't think Walmart knows what the hell they're doing, for one. For two, if you're going to be carrying these games, yes, again, I say this is why we need the ID. Two, if you do happen to sell something to somebody that hands a game to a kid, it absolves you of the responsibility. We've swiped your ID. You had it. We made you aware that the child should not be playing. If there's a child, they should not be playing this, and you took it out of the store. After that, it's no longer our problem.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs to be done for all retailers, to protect them, to protect our developers so that they're not stymied or, you know, kept from making our, you know, lovely games that we love to play so much with all the violence. But
mm-hmm.
Walmart is one of the ones that is completely falls short. And there, unfortunately, there's no type of anything in place to hold the retailers accountable. That's why I love that the UK is doing this. I cannot wait for it to get over here.
Yeah.
When they start being held accountable, they will start trying to find a way to make sure these games
mm-hmm.
don't make it in the hands of kids. Again, I point out, I found a 4-year-old playing Infamous 2 in Walmart, and nobody was stopping him. His mother did not speak
That's
English.
Not cool.
Yeah, his mother didn't speak English. So I don't think that she realized what he was playing. And I walk over, and he's, like, blowing up people. And anybody who's played Infamous can tell you, Infamous is not a, you know, little kid game. There's blood and gore flying everywhere. I don't even think it should have been in the thing to demo, honestly, in a store like Walmart.
Yeah.
So, Walmart, you are majorly dropping the ball. Lady, don't call me today. If my phone rings, I'm finding you. I'm not playing. I'm in my car. I'm on my way to find you. You can call me and tell me what you think you know. You need to visit your stores more often, Walmart. Anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
I had to get on my soapbox again. That makes me angry. Whew. I'm sorry. I was over at Astro Game and checking out their headsets. Yeah. Girl, it's mad. See, you missed it. I told them I saw Avengers earlier. I was over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Was it good?
Man, let me talk to my female gamers out here for a second. Girls, if you haven't seen Avengers, leave your boyfriend at home when you go.
Ooh, is that hot?
We were having, like, hyperventilation attacks from all the sexiness on the screen. Oh, my God.
Rawr, that's hot.
And what's more, I did not know it was directed by Joss Whedon. Kudos, Joss. You should have threw us a couple more girls in there. I know there weren't many girls in the Avengers, but I like Scarlett Johansson's part. They didn't play up the sexy too much, but they did play up her badassery quite a bit. She was... She was rather awesome. Scarlett, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I watched Haywire the other day, and the guy that I was watching with was like, man, this is kind of boring. I was all, man, she's badass. Look at that. She's awesome.
See,
I
told you.
I mean, because there was like a short little bitty love scene, but it wasn't like the Bourne Identities where he's getting it on with this chick here and there and all over the place. It wasn't like any of those other spy movies. This spy chick, she was mean.
I will tell you what makes that one an excellent movie for girls to watch and why guys are not liking it is because the thing we don't think about, if you're going to go to a real world type of scenario, a female spy is obviously going to get her ass kicked. She would have to. And they show it in that movie.
She takes some damage all over the place, man. And we're not talking, you know, she comes out like Angelina Jolie where her face looks just pristine and her hair is just mussed up just right. No,
yeah.
I mean. It was hair is a mess. This chick, some of the time, she's sitting there in her grungy-looking clothes.
Nose bloodied and busted, and that's real. That's what we want to see as girls.
And
obviously.
She's not sitting there giving him the whole, ooh, I want to do you look. No, she's giving him the, oh, I'm going to kill you.
When she got up in the diner. I looked around the theater at that movie, and every man I saw was wincing every time the guy would hit her in the face. You know, remember when he just starts wailing on her? And they were wincing. They were like, oh, man, this is horrible. And the women were like, yeah, when she gets up, she's going to kill you. Oh, she's getting up, yeah.
I know, like, in the beginning, she chases that one guy down at the very beginning. And the guy asks her, you know what, why'd you chase him? Why didn't you just let him go? We had the guy we were going to protect. He goes, I don't like to leave loose ends. Hell yeah, man, that's how you do it right there.
See, woman movie. Woman, mm-hmm. We need a new term for that.
It always happens. It always happens in these spy movies. The guys always let, you know, the prodigy go. I feel bad for them, so I'm going to let them walk. And then that prodigy comes back and stabs you in the back. No. If there's a loose end, you tie that bitch.
All right, and I'm creating a new term for that. It's going to be called chiction flick. There you go.
Yes, yes. That was hot. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. All right, she'd be thrown around. There's glass going everywhere. I was like, oh, that's awesome. All right, so what have we got this?
It'd be my turn, is it?
Your go? Oh, yeah, it's your go. Okay, you go.
All right.
We only got a couple of minutes left. So.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes left. I did want to tell you, those of you who still love your Wii, and stop it, you, this giggling at your desk.
Not that kind of Wii.
Not that kind of Wii.
You're the only person who loves that Wii.
Nintendo is going to be adding two new games to the Nintendo Select Value Collection for the Wii console on June 10th with Mario Power Tennis and Pikmin 2. Pikmin 2 is a Nintendo GameCube classic making its U.S. debut on Wii. Nintendo Select's games are available at suggested retail price of only $19.99, which is pretty good. Separately, two of the... Only $19.99. How long ago you saw games that cheap? Separately, two of the best-selling Wii games of all time will be getting new prices. That'll be Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Yeah, stop drooling. And Donkey Kong Country Returns. Each will be available at a suggested retail price of $29.99. The value pricing provides shoppers with a great way to expand their game collections with some of the hottest Wii games around. Pikmin 2 has some updated controls that have been optimized for the Wii console as players help the brave Captain Olimar and his assistant Louie salvage treasures and return them to their home planet. In addition to the original red, blue, and yellow Pikmin from the first game, players can also take command of purple and white Pikmin. Yeah, creating a wealth of new strategic options. Additionally, Pikmin 2 features a frantic two-player split-screen battle mode, for which additional accessories are required, unfortunately, and sold separately. You know how they roll. Mario Tennis lets players power up their tennis game by swinging the remote to smack powerful forehands and backhands. Players can take on the role of their favorite Mushroom Kingdom characters and play an imaginative court not possible in the real world, including a court littered with Mario-style power-ups. As players win tournaments, clear mini games, or challenge gimmick courts, they unlock new characters, courts, and challenges. Up to four players can compete in wild multiplayer action. The fan favorite, Smash Bros. Brawl, features a dozen characters from numerous Nintendo games and franchises in a battle royal. Up to four players can battle in the same room or over a broadband internet connection. That's hot. To date, the game has already sold nearly 5.5 million in the United States alone. And, of course, you got your Donkey Kong Country, which returns in a new take on the classic platform, barrel blasting and banana hoarding. Never been this fun before. The game features the first simultaneous cooperative gameplay mode for the series, allowing both novice and skilled players to play the game together. Players run, jump, climb, and defeat enemies through diverse environments until they retrieve Donkey Kong's stolen banana hoard. The game has sold, this one in particular has sold 2.5 million in the United States. Other games that have made it onto Nintendo Select include Super Mario Galaxy, Mario Strikers Challenge, Punch-Out. Oh, God, I used to love that game. Oh, my God. I spent all my money as a preteen on Punch-Out. Super Paper Mario and Wii Sports, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, and Animal Crossing City Folk, which I also love and have been trying to get Ginger to play because I want to put dresses in her store in her town. You also have Mario.
You also want to send me that horrible little penguin. I know you do.
No, he's on my – well, you know, I could pull him off the DS and onto the – yeah, we'll talk about that later. All right, so it's about time for us to go. So, if you know where to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com. I can't talk anymore. I'm all flustered. GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamingHX.com. And, of course, we're here on Blog Talk 24/7. So, if you're bored walking down the streets of New York, my favorite place to mention, take us with you and walk the city and enjoy.
Yay!
We'll see you guys tomorrow, I hope. Right
yes.
Here.
Tuesday. When you see that girl coming back to the black. When you see that girl coming back. Boys and